You personally opposed the don't ask, don't tell policy and felt strongly about it, did you not?
I do oppose the don't ask, don't tell
policy. And you did then?
And I did then.
I think if you had any complaint, they should have been made to the United States Congress.
Since I was a child, that simple things like going for a run, holding someone's hand, or getting pulled over by the cops could get me killed.
Our four main key components are to educate, to listen, to advocate, and create allyship.
Police sirens wailing, screaming out of the megaphone, get on the ground.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The homeless Uganda 20 sue over jail abuse, saying so long to bigoted Jeff Sessions, and Black Lives Matter to young queer activists. All that and more this week because you discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 25th, 2020. A Ugandan human rights group is suing local officials over the jailing of 20 queer people from a homeless shelter near Kampala. 16 gay men and 4 transgender women were captured in the March 29th raid. Under a COVID-19 lockdown ban on gatherings of more than 10 people, the young detainees were charged with negligent acts likely to spread infection of disease. Rights groups charged selective enforcement. Widely published videos and photos show the young people being taunted, whipped by a local government official, and essentially outed, which could get a person killed in a highly anti-queer society. Uganda's Human Rights Awareness and Promotion Forum filed the lawsuit on July 21st. It calls the treatment the young detainees received throughout their incarceration cruel and inhuman torture. The suit claims that they endured taunting, flogging, and other forms of corporal punishment, that prison staff denied them food and sanitary facilities. They were denied medication, and a few of the detainees are reportedly HIV positive. They were exposed to further potential harm in the cramped COVID-19 breeding jail facilities.
In one specific alleged atrocity reported by the Human Rights Awareness and Promotion Forum, a senior official ordered one of the young men to strip naked, then burned him with a piece of firewood between his thighs. The detainee spent 42 terrifying days behind bars before they were allowed to meet with defense attorneys, and only then because a high court judge ruled that it's unlawful to deny inmates legal counsel. Bowing to widespread condemnation of those human rights abuses, prosecutors finally released all 20 Ugandans without charges in May. Defendants named in the lawsuit are the local mayor and Kenjira Town Council, along with the Katalia Prison's deputy officer, Philemon Waniala.
Israel's parliament has given preliminary approval to a bill outlawing so-called conversion therapy. The Knesset voted 42-36 on July 22nd to advance the measure, with some affirmative votes coming from members of the ruling coalition government. The bill must still be approved twice more before becoming law. It could still be blocked by the center-right coalition government because it was introduced by the opposition left-wing Meretz party, according to Agence France-Presse. Israel's health ministry has already called conversion therapy a health hazard. The United Nations has called for a global ban of the debunked therapy because not only is it useless, it often causes the patients additional emotional and mental health problems. The vote challenges the already fragile governing coalition government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's been investigated for corruption, and 3 elections have failed to resolve the political crisis it's created. His blue and white party rival, Benny Gantz, was sworn in as an alternative prime minister in May, which preserved Netanyahu's tenuous hold on power. Passage of the conversion therapy ban in its first reading has alienated at least one of the ruling government's right-wing coalition partners, the United Torah Judaism Party. Its defection could bring down Netanyahu's government.
The bill was introduced by openly gay Meretz party leader Nitzan Horowitz, who compared conversion therapy to murder. He said the bill would revoke a mental health professional's license for at least 5 years for promoting or practicing conversion therapy. The offender would be fined and possibly thrown in jail. Horowitz celebrated the initial vote as historic. He said conversion therapy was born in sin and its place is outside of the law and the public norm. In late breaking news, Mexico City lawmakers have approved a bill to criminalize conversion therapy. Reuters reports that the measure received broad cross-party support in a pandemic-mandated virtual meeting on July 24th. Mexico City's ban on conversion therapy makes it the first jurisdiction in Mexico to do that.
More than 85,000 people have died from complications of COVID-19 in Brazil. And now its rabidly racist, misogynistic, and homophobic president has tested positive for the virus again. President Jair, Trump of the tropics, Bolsonaro, downplayed the pandemic for months. Like his namesake to the north, he's mocked staff and others for wearing face coverings. At one point, Bolsonaro said that only fairies wear face masks. His second positive coronavirus test was on July 22nd. Nevertheless, the president has strolled the palace grounds to greet and interact with supporters since his first test came back positive in early July. He's admitted to having had a low-grade fever, but says he's not had any ongoing symptoms. Bolsonaro boasted that, with my history as an athlete, if I were infected with the virus, I would have no reason to worry. I would feel nothing, or it would be at most just a little flu.
And in a country where football, or soccer, reigns supreme, rival fans are uniting in their opposition to Bolsonaro. Rogério Bisseto is a 40-year-old fan, or ultras, of one of Brazil's most famous football teams, Corinthians. He's been leading the protests, which have united ultras from at least four rival clubs in the Sao Paulo area. Bisseto told Deutsche Welle that our president is a homophobic racist and we all have to stand up to this end of humanity. He promised a new anti-Bolsonaro banner each week where everyone in Sao Paulo can see it.
The Trump administration has finally slapped sanctions on the genocidal leader of Russia's mostly Muslim region of Chechnya. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced this week that Ramzan Kadyrov and members of his immediate family are banned from traveling to the United States. The State Department announcement refers to a European Security and Cooperation Agency document citing horrific reports of abuses against LGBTI persons, human rights defenders, members of the independent media, and other citizens who ran afoul of Mr. Kadyrov. Kadyrov has led an effort to literally eradicate LGBTQ people from his jurisdiction. That's documented by numerous reports of kidnappings, detentions, torture, and even deaths in what some accounts have called queer concentration camps. Kadyrov is a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Both have claimed that an official investigation of the allegations found no evidence to support them. The travel ban applies to Kadyrov, his wife, and his two daughters.
The administration of Donald Trump is being sued over its announced rule revoking anti-bias protections for LGBTQ patients under the U.S. Affordable Care Act. A coalition of 23 Democratic state attorneys general and Washington, D.C. filed the suit this week. They charged that the rule, announced in June, allows federally funded health care providers and insurers to discriminate against vulnerable populations currently protected under what's known as Obamacare. It says that the new Department of Health and Human Services rule makes it easier for doctors, hospitals, and insurance companies to cite religious belief to deny care to trans and non-binary patients and to women seeking abortions or contraceptive services. The COVID-19 crisis had already led queer advocacy groups to file lawsuits challenging the Trump administration's effort to potentially kill LGBTQ people with neglect.
Finally, Trump's Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, wants to roll back another Obamacare rule. Transgender people have been allowed to live in federally funded, gender-segregated homeless shelters based on their gender identity. The new rule permits staff to accept clients based solely on their gender as designated at birth. The proposal says that homeless shelter staff can use factors such as height, the presence, but not the absence, of facial hair, the presence of an Adam's apple, and other physical characteristics to determine in which gender-segregated facility the applicant should be housed. A department memo makes it clear that the new rule will better accommodate religious beliefs of shelter providers. HUD Secretary Ben Carson infamously once referred to transgender women as big hairy men invading women's shelters. According to documents obtained by the online site Vox, Carson ridiculously claims that the current rule permits any man, simply by asserting that his gender is female, to obtain access to women's shelters.
Even though the rule change has yet to be formally announced, Democratic Representatives Jennifer Wexton of Virginia and Maxine Waters of California wrote to Carson urging reconsideration of the rule change in light of the Supreme Court's recent queer right-to-work ruling. They say that the High Court decision could apply to anti-bias housing protections as well. National Center for Transgender Equality leader Mara Kiesling pointed out that 1 in 3 transgender Americans has been homeless at some point in their lives. This proposal would have them sleep on the street rather than get help. True Colors United and other U.S. LGBTQ groups have mobilized to fight the rule change, according to The Advocate. For information about how you can submit comments and take other actions, check out housingsaveslives.org.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending July 25th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recorded remotely during the COVID-19 emergency, but is still being written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV. They say, that's amazing. How did you do that?
Equality is supposed to be one of the guiding principles of the United States. As a Black gay teenager in America today, I recognize that in the eyes of many, I am not fully equal.
Not equal and not sitting still for it. Queer youth confront racism. Later in the program. It seems that the political career of the bigoted former U.S. Attorney General and former Republican Senator Jeff Sessions has come to an end, unless the rules of the undead are in as much upheaval as everything else these days. Sessions lost a primary bid to regain his old Senate seat to a Trump-backed greater of two evils candidate in mid-July. It gave us the idea to recall a report from 10 years ago this month when Sessions suffered a comeuppance in an important Senate hearing. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan passed through her confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week with flying colors. However, with a career primarily in academia, she did not have a history of rulings from the bench for her committee examiners to pour through. With Democrat Patrick Leahy of Vermont moderating as committee chair, Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions tried to nail Kagan on her handling of campus military recruitment when she was the dean of Harvard Law School.
When you became dean, you personally opposed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and felt strongly about it, did you not?
I do oppose the Don't Ask, Don't Tell
policy. And you did then?
And I did then.
And you, in 03... not long after you had been became president, you said, quote, "I abhor the military's discrimination recruitment policy," close quote. "I consider it," quote, "a profound wrong, a moral injustice of the first order," close quote. And you said that not within 6 months or so of becoming dean. And that was an email you sent to the entire law school.
Senator Sessions, I have repeatedly said that I believe that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is unwise and unjust. I believed it then, and I believe it now. And we were trying to do two things. We were trying to make sure that military recruiters had full and complete access to our students, but we were also trying to protect our own anti-discrimination policy and to protect the students whom it is, the policy is supposed to protect, which in this case were our gay and lesbian students.
I'm just a little taken aback by the tone of your remarks because it's unconnected to reality. I know what happened at Harvard. I know you were an outspoken leader against the military policy. I know you acted without legal authority to reverse Harvard's policy and deny those military equal access to campus until you were threatened by the United States government of loss of federal funds. This is what happened.
The Senator's time is expiring. You can respond to that if you want.
Did not happen in that way. And I think if you had any complaint, they should have been made to the United States Congress, not to those men and women who we send in harm's way to serve our nation.
Especially because of the number of people, including the Dean of West Point, who has praised you and said that you are absolutely not anti-military. I'll let you respond, take time to respond to what Senator Sessions just said.
Well, thank you, Senator Leahy. I respect and indeed I revere the military. My father was a veteran. One of the great privileges of my time at Harvard Law School was dealing with all these wonderful students that we had who had served in the military and students who wanted to go to the military. And I always tried to make sure that I conveyed my honor for the military, and I always tried to make sure that the military had excellent access to our students. And in the short period of time, Senator Sessions, that the military had that access through the Veterans Organization, military recruiting actually went up. But I also felt a need to protect our, to defend our school's very longstanding anti-discrimination policy and to protect the men and women, the students who were meant to be protected by that policy, the gay and lesbian students who wanted to serve in the military and do that most honorable kind of service. And those are the two things that I tried to do. And I think, again, the military always had good access at Harvard Law School.
Ten years ago, Jeff Sessions tried unsuccessfully to kick then Supreme Court Justice nominee Elena Kagan to the curb, but he's been kicked to the curb by Alabama voters.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual.
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank. And you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities. So much
cooler online. There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable material.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
The queer youth broadcasters of Outcasting Overtime believe that Black lives matter enough to do something about it.
This is Outcasting Overtime, from Media for the Public Good, producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Justin, an Outcasting youth participant. As a Black gay teenager in America today, I recognize that in the eyes of many, I am not fully equal. Despite many gains, LGBTQ people are still subject to discrimination in many ways. And of course, discrimination against Black people exists in many terrible and violent ways as well. Equality is supposed to be one of the guiding principles of the United States. Yet, I'm not equal. And I recognize that whatever equality I do have was fought for, it didn't just exist as it does for white straight people. The rights we have today were gained through protest, rallies, and riots. But we continue not to have the full rights that white straight people have. This is why both of my communities, LGBTQ and Black, must keep fighting for greater equality. I've had to understand since I was a child that simple things like going for a run, holding someone's hand, or getting pulled over by the cops could get me killed. I've always had to watch what I do around people because of the simple facts of whom I love and what my skin color is. During Black History Month this year, I presented a poem about the oppression and killing of innocent Black people. As a result of the protests and riots in the name of the Black Lives Matter movement, I realized at this time in particular, my voice needs to be heard. Here's the poem. Walking through the city streets, past sundown, keeping my hands out of my pockets, hood down, pick in hand, police sirens wailing, screaming out of the megaphone, get on the ground. My knees hitting the concrete, drop your weapon, they say. Children screaming, lights gleaming, women crying, shots firing, heartbeat dropping, laughter stopping. It was a misunderstanding, they say, but we all know their ways. Headlines: Black teen resists police. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Eric Garner are just a few of the thousands of Black people who have been killed unjustly by police officers. George Floyd allegedly used a counterfeit bill and was killed after a Minneapolis police officer detained him by kneeling on his neck for over 8.5 minutes on May 25th, 2020. Breonna Taylor was shot and killed in her sleep by police officers in her Kentucky apartment during a police raid on the wrong apartment. It has never been and will never be true that Black lives matter more than others. It's simply that, as a community, we've seen how little Black lives matter to some people in power. I am tired of not getting listened to. We are all tired of not getting listened to. Our voices are important and need to be heard. The community I live in has been relatively peaceful, but that doesn't mean that there isn't racism. Earlier this year, 4 letters of the N-word and a swastika were carved into a bathroom stall. The next day, the Student Equity Club, of which I'm a member, gathered to talk about the incident. The principal was very honest with us. He explained to us how shocked he was and said that whoever committed this act of hate would be dealt with accordingly. Throughout the day, the principal held an assembly for each grade, keeping in mind the priorities of our equity group, which are to achieve and maintain equity through education and ensure a similar response to any future acts of hate in our school. With this act of hate in students' and educators' minds, we were all more open to having these uncomfortable conversations about racism, sexism, homophobia, and so many other real-life topics. And with the Black Lives Matter movement becoming more prominent than ever before, it was important to know that I could have these uncomfortable yet important conversations in a school setting. I sent an email about the Black Lives Matter movement with my poem to the student body and most of the faculty at my school. The email prompted conversations with several people, some of whom I didn't even know. One teacher said she's been struggling with these issues and spends time every day talking about them with her children. Another, who has a Black transgender son, said she lives in fear and wants the world to find meaningful answers and justice for everyone. Among the responses, a common thread was fear for the safety of Black family members. It was amazing to receive so many supportive responses to my email, and the conversation needs to continue. With that in mind, a woman named Jelaine Knowles started a local activist organization in Austin, New York, called What About Us. I spoke with her about the organization and what she hopes it can accomplish. Jelaine, thanks for joining us. Tell us how you started.
My activism started with watching the video of George Floyd being murdered, and kind of, I think everyone can agree that enough was enough and it should have been enough, but I think in the moment now, I work at Roosevelt Elementary School in Ossining, and I thought of the kids that I work with. So at that moment, I realized that I needed to do something for them and just be a part of the movement. And that's what I wanted to do.
With your organization, What About Us? What are your main goals? What do you want to reach? What are your short-term and long-term goals?
Our four main key components are to educate, to listen, to advocate, and create allyship. All four can start off with short-term goals. For example, education. We are trying to find small education reform within our own community as immediate as possible, and we are making those steps. Listening. There's people out here who are willing to go to these forums and listen to what people have to say. Advocate. We are providing an online platform and physical platform for people to discuss and work at ways of dismantling racism. And allyship. We are forming bonds with people and making connections. And those are all short-term. Long-term is complete education reform at a higher level to really listen in and hone in on everybody's perspectives, to really be an advocate so that we can eradicate racism. And allyship, creating these bonds with people that can make a huge difference.
How do you see your purpose as an activist and also a citizen of your community?
My role, I believe, is just to be there for the people in my community, because I'm blessed to be from a place where I grew up here and played basketball here, and the support I got was unreal, and it's about time that I gave it back. And Ossining can set the tone, and that's why I love being a part of this community, because we can set an example for what other communities should do.
Jalay is using her position in her community to promote equity, and she hopes that her efforts will inspire activism in other communities. I used my poem to try and express what happens to people in my community on a daily basis. We have spoken up. Now it's the responsibility of others to listen. Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime, for media for the public good. Producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org. To get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to all Outcasting content. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Wenzel Jones, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Outcaster Justin, produced by Mark Sofus. Steen, Leonard Skinner, Ray Charles, Brad Paisley, and Janelle Monae with Wonderland performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and donors Paul Bannon and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2SER Broadway, New South Wales, WEDY Binghamton, New York, KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy and stay tuned.